Good morning. This is Nicolene Ambrose with the Tri-County Journal from Wednesday, September 30th. First article, Illini Prairie CEO Class is Ready for Challenges During Uncertain Times by Ariana R. Cherry. Presently, with an economy that is uncertain and going through tough times, it is more important than ever to encourage the development of small businesses or to educate young minds who have an interest for business. The development of businesses and their success are the steam behind what makes a great economy. Here in the ALAH School District, we have the means to create a learning atmosphere with business-like minds through the Illini Prairie CEO class, previously known as the Douglas County CEO program. The mission of the Illini Prairie CEO class is to prepare our youth to be responsible, enterprising individuals who become entrepreneurs or entrepreneurial thinkers and contribute to the economic development and sustainability of Douglas County. As quoted in last year's CEO class report, it is our hope that these young entrepreneurs will follow in the footsteps of many of the entrepreneurs in our community and will reside in or return to run their business, raise their families, and give back to their community. This year, the Illini Prairie CEO is excited to add Sullivan High School to its already growing list of participating schools that include Arcola, Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond, and Tuscola. It has been a big perk of bringing them on. We get a whole new pool of businesses we can reach out to, or they can become investors. Sullivan's economic situation is really great big-time manufacturing, healthcare businesses, Downtown Square, and the Little Theater, Mac Condell, class facilitator, quoted. They've been great already. We have two students from there, the support of the school administration and Lori Miner, director of Sullivan Chamber and Economic Development, has done great at engaging businesses and investors, he added. For this year's class, there are 14 students. Last year's class had to move through some of the new challenges that the COVID-19 pandemic brought, and this year's class is weathering through them just the same and plan to still make the program a great success despite these uncertain times. For the time being, the class is doing all of their business visits remotely through platforms such as Zoom. Condell is still hoping that there could be business field trips in the future, but that will be the board's decision if it would be made possible. With the start of the school year, Condell stated that the class has mostly just been getting to know each other and starting to discuss big picture stuff. We are trying to continue on as we normally would with the use of technology and trying to make the best out of the current situation. It has been a great learning tool, he said. Another great addition to this year's program is its co-facilitator, Christy Mulligan of Arcola. Because it is busy in the fall and spring at the Great Pumpkin Patch with planting and everything, it would be hard to take the whole program on, and I still wanted to be a part of it. So now the program has a dual facilitator. Christy is also one more person the students can have as a mentor, Condell explained. Christy is tech savvy and works remote with her businesses. Since we are remote through the middle of October at this point, she is ahead of all that, he added. Since his businesses are busier during certain seasons compared to others, I am here to hold down the fort while he is planting, harvesting, and providing all the amazing opportunities for local families and tourists alike, said Mulligan. Essentially, we share the calendar based on his needs, and then we split the roles based on strengths that we both bring to the table. Being that I have a big technology-based background and have worked remotely since 2005, full-time since 2008, I can bring support to him with some of those types of requirements. Plus, I am here to show students that you can live in this amazing area of ours and still work for or with some of the mega enterprises like Microsoft, Apple, Google, etc., she informed. Mulligan continued on to explain, students certainly do not realize what true remote capabilities exist, even before or after COVID passes. Mac, on the other hand, has been a part of this community most of his life, and so with his connections to local businesses, that is key to letting students see what businesses are rooted here in the community that they may not know about and or realize that they even exist. It's all about opening students to the opportunities that exist right out of their back doors, she said. Even though the class is dealing with the challenge of the pandemic, there are still plenty of plans and goals in store. Beyond showing kids all that the world can offer them while they are living here in the awesome communities of ALAH, Tuscola, Arcola, and Sullivan, we are striving to also let the students see all types of businesses and jobs within those businesses that exist, Mulligan stated. We want to really encourage students to explore their interests, ask questions of business owners or employees, etc., in order to figure out what they want to potentially do beyond high school. It's also equally important for them to figure out what they don't want to do, she added. Mulligan also stated that they want to focus on building habits that employers will find important should they hire the students someday. They are teaching skills such as arriving early to work and not just on time, being prepared with all of their materials, communicating early and often regarding their work or when things may not be going well, and partnering with team members to brainstorm solutions to a problem and then working together to follow through on whatever plan is created. Students should exit this class being extremely marketable to any employer, quoted Mulligan. Besides the students being marketable, after exiting the class, they also are already learning how to deal with business when life brings them challenges, such as this pandemic. There is probably no other class in this group's history that has learned so many tech tools this early, or what it is like to develop with a fully remote team. These are things that will, again, set them apart from their peers and show that they already have the habits built to make themselves fully functioning, regardless of the situation, said Mulligan. The 2021 class includes Dylan Alcorn, Tuscola, Aiden Beachy, Tuscola, Preston Brown, Tuscola, Elusha Budd, Arcola, Kendra De La Garza, Arcola, Jake Dyer, Tuscola, Cohen Foster, Sullivan, Allison Gordon, Tuscola, Alexa Hauser, Sullivan, Graciela Leal, Arcola, Jorge Macias, Arcola, Krish Patel, Arcola, Carly Seep, Tuscola, and Mackenzie Wright, Arthur Lovington, Atwood Hammond. Not only does Illini Prairie CEO offer opportunities for students, but it also offers opportunities for businesses and business owners, guest speaking opportunities, and the chance to help educate young minds. Mulligan said that she and Condell are always looking to align with more area businesses to do virtual tours, guest speakers to join them for the short term, or hopefully eventual face-to-face sessions. Those who are interested may contact them by sending an email to cmulligan@IlliniPrairieCEO.com that includes their name, business name, and phone number, and either Mulligan or Condell will reach out to you right away. It is so important for the students to hear your story, to hear how you and or your business came to be in this area, etc. Remember, you just might be the spark for one of these students, so please don't hesitate to let us know if you're willing to share, Mulligan quoted. Next article, Douglas County Board votes to extend Enterprise Zone to include Sydney. The monthly meeting of the Douglas County Board was called to order at 9 a.m. on Wednesday, September 16th. All board members were present. Following the approval of the consent agenda items, the board voted to extend the declaration of emergency in Douglas County for 30 more days due to COVID-19. The state of emergency was declared in the county on March 18, 2020. The declaration allows Board Chairman Don Munson to have authorization to sign documents and approve finances as necessary without the need to call an emergency meeting. The declaration also allows the board to continue to live stream their meetings on Zoom while still being within the Open Meetings Act. The largest bit of discussion during the meeting pertained to Ordinance 20012, authorizing the addition of Champaign County as a designated unit of government and related boundary notifications to the area known as the Douglas County Enterprise Zone and the Douglas County Enterprise Zone Agreement. The modifications would come to Zones A and B, which would now include a 3-foot-wide connecting strip from the existing zone in Douglas County at the intersection of Illinois Route 130 in the corporate limits in the city of Villa Grove, Camargo Township, to the project site in Sidney Township. The board was asked to consider the rezoning by Tuscola's Chamber of Economic Development Director Brian Moody, who had been approached by Sidney due to issues with Champaign County and a new solar farm being developed in southeast Sidney. The rezoning will not change much for Douglas County, but allows project developers in Sidney a chance to complete the project and purchase materials in Douglas County with no sales tax. Following the completion of the project, the ordinance will be broken and Sidney will return to Champaign County. The board voted to pass Ordinance 20012 and amended the Douglas County Enterprise Zone Intergovernmental Agreement with a 5-2 vote. The board then moved to the discussion of committee reports. As always, committee reports are available on the Douglas County website under the Current Meeting Information tab. Board member Bibby Appleby announced that she had met with Regional Office of Education last week at their annual meeting. She reported that Douglas County will be paying less than last year due to increased number of grants received. Appleby also informed the board that in the region, this includes Clark, Coles, Cumberland, Douglas, Moultrie, and Shelby counties, that there are 711 homeless students. By definition, a homeless student is an individual who lacks a fixed, regular, and adequate nighttime residence. This includes students who are sharing accommodations, staying at hotels, or sleeping in any public space. The board hopes to look into this and see what they can do to help these students, especially those in Douglas County. Following this, Jim Mikeworth announced that he had been meeting with the new Workplace Innovation and Opportunity Act, WIO-WA, director, and that he had been very impressed with him and the work that he's doing for the office in the office for Douglas County. He informed the board that the office is hoping to hire additional full-time employee as soon as possible. More information on the job can be found on the website. The only public comment came from Amanda Miner in reference to the downstate transportation grant and clarification needed for that. The board also approved the minutes of the August 19th regular board meeting, approved the payments of the county's financial obligations, approved the reports of fees of county offices, approved the 2021 holiday calendar as recommended by the Personnel, Legal, and Management Subcommittee, approved Ordinance 20011 authorizing the execution and delivery of local CURE, C-U-R-E, program financial support and conditions and certifications, approved Resolution 20R29, the execution and amendment of Downstate Operating Assistance Agreement for fiscal year 21, approved Resolution 20R30, approving the cancellation of certificates of purchase A040303416001, B060405113003, C060433303012, D070631112016, E-07-06-311-12-021, F-04-03-11-106-007, and G-M-09-10-003-018-00. Approved Resolution 20R31 for construction contract of Section 19-01133-00-BR as submitted by Howell Paving, Inc. approved Resolution 20R32, authorizing Chairman Munson to enter into a contract with Benaiah Construction for the emergency repair of a county highway in Newman due to a water main break on Sunday, September 6th. Adjourned until the October 21st meeting at 9 a.m. At the bottom of the front page is a picture of a group of women. The caption says, "What can you do when the virus has shut down inside McDonald's?" These gals from Tuscola decided to meet and social distance while still enjoying each other's company. The city brought picnic tables, and the ladies have claimed this spot from 8 a.m. until 9 a.m., or until no one has or needs anyone any more advice. Of course, as the sign says, the advice comes with no guarantees. Next, the obituaries. C. Dale Hillard. C. Dale Hillard, 80, born in Villa Grove, October 16, 1939, passed peacefully on August 30th in Chandler, Arizona. Services are planned for 10 a.m. Saturday, October 3rd at Grace Community Church, 1200 East Southern Avenue, Tempe, Arizona. Levi C. Hirschberger. Levi C. Hirschberger, 90 years, 4 months, 28 days, of Arthur, Illinois, passed away at 6:50 a.m. on Tuesday, September 15th at the Arthur home. Funeral services were held at 9 a.m. on Friday, September 18th at the HCK West Building, 1 mile south of Arthur. Bishop Irvin Dean Schrock officiated. Burial was in the Otto Cemetery in rural Arthur. Visitation was held after 1 p.m. on Wednesday, September 16th and all day on Thursday, September 17th at the HCK West Building. The Edwards Funeral Home is assisting with arrangements. George J. Lawyer. George Jennings Lawyer, age 68, of Arthur, entered eternal life on Sunday, September 20th at Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Due to current social restrictions, services in honor of George will be private. Burial will be in Bell Cemetery in rural Diona, Illinois. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions can be made to the College Fund for Whitney Collier and Madeline Swanson, care of Preferred Bank, 602 Illinois Route 49, Casey, Illinois, 62420. Dorothy Schrock. Dorothy Schrock, 79, of Arthur, passed away at 1 p.m. on Tuesday, September 15th at her residence. Funeral services were held at 9 a.m. on Sunday, September 20th at the HCK West Building, 2008 County Road, 1800 East, 1 mile south of Arthur. Bishop Daniel Chupp officiated. Burial was in the Otto Cemetery. Visitation was held from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Friday, September 18th, and from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Saturday, September 19th, at the HCK West Building. The Edwards Funeral Home is assisting with arrangements. Mildred Balsrud. Mildred Balsrud, 97, passed away peacefully on Tuesday, September 15th. A private funeral was held for family on Saturday, September 19th, at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Charleston. Memorials may be made in her name to Emmanuel Lutheran Church, 902 Cleveland Avenue, Charleston, Illinois, 61920. On page 6 is a photo. The caption reads, "On September 16th, the Douglas County Sheriff's Office had the honor of promoting two of their deputies to the rank of Sergeant Deputy Sheriff. Both Lonnie Homan and Nate Chaplin have dedicated their careers to the Sheriff's Office and citizens of Douglas County. Their hard work, dedication, leadership, and experience earning them the title of Sergeant Deputy Sheriff. As we celebrate these two outstanding gentlemen's accomplishments, let us not forget those who have given the ultimate sacrifice in service to their community." This photo was taken in front of the memorial for Chief Deputy Tommy K. Martin, whose end of watch was July 17, 2007. Never forget. Pictured are DCSO Sheriff Josh Blackwell, Chief Deputy Steve Pollum, Sergeant Deputy Lonnie Homan, and Sergeant Deputy Nathan Chaplin. Next article, Sarah Bush Lincoln employee celebrates United States citizen. Sarah Bush Lincoln Food and Nutrition Services Associate Sabrina Lewis was all smiles when her co-workers gathered to celebrate her proud achievement. She became a U.S. citizen. I got chills because it was a big deal, Sabrina said about attending the naturalization ceremony in a federal courtroom in Peoria on August 26th. The words coming from the judge were beautiful, and I got a little emotional. It's a big day to remember, and I'm very proud. Sabrina moved to the United States from Spain 14 years ago after marrying her husband, Philip Lewis, a U.S. Navy sailor who was stationed on a Spanish naval base. It was difficult at first because I did not speak English when I arrived, and the culture is so different, she said. Sabrina taught herself to speak English by watching TV, reading movie subtitles, and asking her husband how to pronounce words. It took me about 8 months before I was able to have conversations, she said. The food was a big change for me, too, because I'm from the south of Spain, and we cook a lot, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and life is much faster paced here, but I'm used to it now. After living in several states through the years, Sabrina is thankful to settle down with her 12-year-old daughter, Alicia, and husband in Mattoon. Her husband now works as a U.S. Navy recruiter in Effingham, and she is grateful for her job at Sarah Bush Lincoln. Sabrina especially enjoys putting a smile on people's faces while delivering meal trays to patients. I like to come into the room with a positive attitude and make people smile. That's what I like. I'm not a nurse, but at least I can help somehow, she said. Sabrina's positive influence is definitely making a big impression on patients and co-workers. For her efforts, she was nominated for SBL's quarterly Bravo President's Award in June. She shows up every day with a smile on her face and a true desire to make other people's day better. She understands being a room service associate is not just delivering food to a patient, but being a bright spot in their day, Food and Nutrition Services Manager Jeff Pence said in his nomination letter. Next article, many different and simple ways to give back to your community. Giving back to one's community strengthens towns and neighborhoods and makes them better places to live. Many people volunteer with local charitable organizations, while others make annual donations that help charities and nonprofits achieve their missions. Giving back to your community can require a big commitment, but there are simple ways to give back each day as well. Whether you're strapped for time and can't volunteer, or simply want to do a little more than you already do to support your community, the following are some simple ways to give back every day. First, support a local business. Many small businesses have suffered mightily since the outbreak of the novel coronavirus. Such businesses help communities thrive in many ways, including employing local residents. According to the Statistics Canada Labor Force Survey, small firms with fewer than 100 employees employed roughly 70% of the Canadian population in 2017. In the United States, the Small Business Administration's Office of Advocacy reports that nearly 62% of the country's net new jobs between 1993 and 2016 were created by small businesses. By supporting such firms, whether it's ordering takeout or buying from local retailers instead of their big box competitors, men and women are giving back to their communities while spending money they would be spending anyway. Second, help a neighbor. The pandemic turned many people's lives upside down, and some people have had to overcome long periods of isolation. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention notes that the elderly are at greater risk of getting seriously ill from COVID-19 than younger people, while those with pre-existing conditions, such as type 2 diabetes and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD, are at increased risk as well. Because of that heightened risk, such people have been urged to stay at home as much as possible. If you want to give back, offer to help at-risk neighbors with their grocery shopping or other errands that could put them in danger of getting sick. Another way to help at-risk neighbors is to visit them and keep them company. If you do so, wear a mask at all times and stay at least 6 feet away. Next, donate used items. Many people are still working from home full-time as employers remain hesitant to bring staff back into the office. That extra time at home has no doubt made people realize just how much clutter they have around the house. Rather than leaving items out at the curb for the garbage man to take away, donate lightly used clothing and still functioning appliances to nearby charities. Unemployment figures remain high across the country, and more people than ever before are in need of affordable goods. Donating, rather than discarding, lightly used items can help the less fortunate in your community get through a very uncertain time. Last article, Memories and Musings by Sherry Sims. It is officially fall. Well, actually, it started September 22nd and ends December 20th, but I end the fall season on December 1st. I like a longer Christmas season. Fall means apples, and I eat a lot of fresh apples during the picking season. I am not a fan of store-bought apples the rest of the year. I feel they have been picked too early for shipping and have very little flavor. We have always tried to extend our fresh apple season by following the picking season all around the Midwest, and in many of our weekend getaways are centered around visiting U-Pick orchards. We have traveled to the Mississippi River Road, the entire length of Illinois and Missouri to northern Michigan and Wisconsin, and down along the center of Indiana into Kentucky just to pick and eat apples. I am a yellow apple fan, but the rest of the family favors Jonathan and Red Delicious apples, but I have found that just about every apple recipe is delicious with any fresh apple. The earliest we ever picked apples was in July in Ontario, Canada, which surprised us because we thought their season might be later than ours since they are so much farther north. If you have not had a fresh apple recipe with Canadian or Vermont maple syrup, then you have not lived, in my opinion. A simple way to taste this yummy treat is to add 1/4 cup maple syrup to your favorite apple crisp recipe. You will be happy. Not only do I love fresh apples, but I like baked apples too, and have been known to bake and freeze dozens of them to have during the winter. My favorite baked apple is pretty simple, and I learned how to make them from the French owner of our favorite hotel in Quebec City, Canada. Core a large apple, place it in a microwave bowl, and stuff it with 1 tablespoon of butter. Mix 1 tablespoon of cinnamon with 1/2 cup maple syrup and pour over the apple, making sure the cored hole is full. Microwave for 2 to 3 minutes. I have found this to be the best thing ever to come out of a microwave. My fondness for apples was imprinted on my brain from as early as I can remember because one of my favorite golden books was Johnny Appleseed. My mom and aunt read it to me just about every day. Hubby knew of my fondness for this book and used to tease me and call me Sherry Flower Seed because I planted seeds every place we moved. Did you know there are more than 7,500 apple varieties in the world, about 2,500 varieties grown in the United States. About 100 of these are sold commercially. Apples are the second most valuable fruit grown in the U.S., oranges being the first. This has been Nicolene Ambrose reading the Tri-County Journal. I hope you enjoyed it. I look forward to reading with you again soon.